CBS News Brief. An all-white jury has convicted a white woman of shooting and killing a black woman outside her home in Ocala, Florida. Richard Buxman was the prosecutor.
Based on the facts of this case, it's not okay. Based on the law in this case, it's not okay.
60-year-old Susan Lawrence faces up to 30 years in prison for killing 35-year-old A.J. Owens over Owens' children playing outside Lawrence's home. Millions of Americans have had their personal information compromised in April by hackers called USDOD. The National Public Data Organization is being sued over it.
Chances are, yes, your social security number, your past addresses, your current addresses are probably already out there available on the dark web.
CBS's Jolene Kent. California Governor Gavin Newsom has signed a bipartisan package of bills to crack down on smash and grab robberies and property crimes.
These bills will strengthen existing laws. They'll enhance other laws.
The move comes as California Democrats try to show they're tough on crime. CBS News Brief.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's new transportation secretary is the first woman to lead the DOT. Governor Evers appointed Christina Boardman today after Craig Thompson left to take a job at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Boardman has been serving as the DOT's deputy secretary. Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance in Milwaukee today accepting an endorsement from law enforcement. Here's Stuart J. Waddles.
The backdrop said back the blue, and the police union representative that spoke said his organization would be supporting the Trump-Vance ticket, with Vance saying Vice President Kamala Harris has a history of talking down to police. Harris is set for a visit to Milwaukee next Tuesday.
I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Harris, meanwhile, has been running on her record as a former prosecutor and promises to support police. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following our upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, August 19th. In Wood County, the Citizens Water Group will meet at 2 p.m. at the River Block Building in room 206. In Portage County, the Board of Adjustment will meet at 4 p.m. at the Portage County Annex in Conference Room 5. The Health and Human Services Board will meet at 4:30 at 1462 Strongs Avenue in Stevens Point. The Stevens Point Common Council meeting will begin at 7 p.m. in the community room on Michigan Avenue. In Adams County, the Library Board will meet from 2 to 3 at the Adams County Library. There's an important meeting in Nacoosa on Tuesday to discuss the future of County Highway AA. The Wood County Highway Department wants to find out how the community feels about closing the road completely. The meeting is Tuesday, August 20th from 5 to 7 at the Nacoosa Community Center. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers' Christian Yelich out for the year. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Christian Yelich undergoing season-ending back surgery today in Milwaukee.
It just got to the point where it wasn't getting better. Tried everything I could. Ran out of options, and it came time to make a decision. This was the best option, you know, that we really had left.
The 32-year-old Yelich making the announcement last night on social media. Meanwhile, the Brewers able to put together an eighth-inning rally to beat the Dodgers 6-4 to split the four-game series two games apiece. Reese Hoskins on outfielder Garrett Mitchell.
Garrett had a really, really good at-bat to give us first and second, and then really put the pressure on with the tying run at second base. You feed off each other when you're doing that, and I think we are able to put it all together there in the eighth inning.
NFL, the Packers joint practice sessions underway today in Denver. A chance for quarterback Jordan Love to work with his long list of receivers against the Broncos defense.
We have a real deep, you know, receiver group, which, like I said before, is a good problem to have.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The morning show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
A remote Brazilian tribe deep in the Amazon rainforest was recently able to access the internet for the first time ever. Tribe leaders say that they almost immediately had to institute time limits or nothing would get done.
You know, we don't hunt fish and plant crops, we're going to die because we don't have any food. And guess what, everyone? Amazon does not deliver to the Amazon. So, which is kind of an oversight on their part.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on locally grown radio.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, few showers around tonight and a low in the mid-60s. And more clouds around for tomorrow, maybe a pop-up shower and highs in the mid-70s. Mostly sunny with a high in the low 80s Sunday. A couple of nice days Monday and Tuesday, mostly sunny and highs near 80. Currently at 75 degrees.
Ready, set, go. Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 PM Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
Matt Nair on air.
We were talking about Donald Trump. I'm sorry, Donald Trump. He also said that he knows how to correctly pronounce Kamala Harris's name. He just chooses not to. And so I think that kind of opens it up for us to take some liberties.
Yeah, what would be your fix to the name?
Dave from New Berlin texting in Conald.
Conald.
Dump. Also, Calvin's was Donald Trump.
Who said there's a correct one?
Except, like, it's pronounced Kamala.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he's known on TikTok as Mr. Global. Matt Randolph, an oil and gas expert, joins us to talk about the myths of prices. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, August 16th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two, we're going to speak with Reverend Caleb McGregor from the Port Edwards United Methodist Church, talk about their community trivia night and benefit for the Family Center that they have coming up. But right now, joining us on the phone lines, our friend Senator Patrick Teston from Wisconsin State Senate District number 24. Good morning. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, James. How are you?
Doing all right. How have you been?
I'm busy. It's everyone's favorite season in Wisconsin right now, and I'm not talking summer. It's campaign season.
I want to get into that with you and a couple of other really interesting things. Appreciate the notes that you sent over. We'll touch on those topics and some more. But if you don't mind, sir, I want to rewind for a second to Tuesday and the election results. What are your takes from the results that we got Wednesday morning?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, we had some primary elections as well as two questions regarding to a constitutional amendment. And, you know, to be completely honest and blunt, I'm not surprised to see the referendum questions fail. There was a lot of money and effort went into having individuals vote no on those questions, despite the fact that, you know, myself crossed the finish line. And just to clarify a couple things, because I heard a lot of confusion, and I certainly heard this when I was going door to door in the lead up to the primary, is that a lot of people had concerns that this was going to impact emergency funds and disaster relief, like from storms or floods, and that simply wasn't the case. But either way, you know, the amendments went down, and I guess the silver lining of this all is that, you know, in response to these questions being on the ballot, a lot of that money that the governor had been sitting on from COVID relief, a good chunk of that's been spent down now. And so I think the governor only has roughly about just shy of $300 million that remains in a special account that he can use to allocate those resources for various projects. It would be nice to have some legislative oversight, but, you know, the voters spoke status quo is going to remain as is until something changes.
With that being said, you know, eventually, maybe next month when we talk, we can get a little more in depth in some of those topics there. But one of the things talking about silver lining, sir, the direction I wanted to go was the idea that 26% of eligible voters voted in this election, the most since, I believe, the 60s or even before that. That is, no matter what party you're representing, those are great numbers. And it's great to see the Wisconsinites out there and getting out there and voting. I think that that's noteworthy. I think that that stands out almost above anything else, really, and outside of course, the results. But I would like to touch on just one really quick thing, and I'm going to take this opportunity every chance I get, so I apologize, sir, but I feel like we have to get past the idea of winning and losing an election. You can't lose something the American people choose. Like, if they chose it, well, okay, that was their choice. They went that direction. It's the job of a politician to do what their constituents ask. So if that's the direction they go, you got to trust the people. You have to go with what the people want.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And, you know, and you know, in large part, I think, you know, the messaging on our side as it related to the referendum questions could have been stronger and better. But, you know, we're dealing with an issue where we didn't have the resources to get that message out. As I was telling someone yesterday down at the Juneau County Fair, because they had questions about, you know, why the referendum questions didn't go through. I said, look, you know, half of the Senate's up right now, and, you know, we are doing what we can, but, you know, we don't have the ability to, and 99 state representatives are up for re-election. We don't have the ability to talk to all 180,000 people we represent in our respective districts. And so, you know, you still got to go out there and make the case. And that's what I've been doing. I spent about, 8 miles going door to door yesterday in the city of Mauston. And I probably, hopefully if the rain holds off, going to be in Wisconsin Rapids this afternoon, going door to door, talking to folks. And that's going to be the mantra between now and November 5th.
Getting a good workout at the very least, right?
Oh, absolutely. This is, if you want a really good diet plan, go out and campaign for public office, because I tell you, you get to eat like a horse. The real challenge is once the campaign's over, you got to remind yourself that, yeah, you can't keep putting away the hamburgers or whatever you can get your hands on, because you're starving at the end of the day.
You have a very unique and cool opportunity coming up. You're going to be speaking with an Irish ambassador. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. So earlier in this last legislative session, we created the Irish caucus. So a number of us who are of Irish descent, and passed legislation to actually increase trade opportunities between Wisconsin and Ireland. And so last year, I had the chance to, a number of us had dinner with the Irish Consulate General out of the Chicago office, and a great guy. And really looking forward to this Saturday, because the ambassador to the United States from Ireland is going to be at Milwaukee's Irish Fest. So a number of us are going to go down and have a reception with her and talk about how we can continue to strengthen our relationship between Wisconsin and Ireland. And this is really an opportunity for us to highlight some of our egg exports and hopefully help some of our farmers and other manufacturers here in the state open up new markets. And I'm really excited to strengthen this partnership. And, you know, anytime you get a chance to go down to Irish Fest, it's a win-win.
Yeah, I will say journalistically, as a strong Italian, any Irish Fest you can get to, go to it, everybody. It's a blast. You'll have fun, especially the ones that we would have in Chicago, and those you'd show up at all of them. And you mentioned a couple of really key points to this. One, it's just unique and it's cool. We don't get these opportunities very often. But certainly the idea of strengthening our connections with other countries and how vital that is, not just to Wisconsin, but to America and us going forward. Export, import, this is the way of the world. We need these relationships, and we need them strong.
Absolutely. And it's through these types of partnerships that, you know, we can continue to make the case that, you know, Wisconsin has a lot of things to offer. And, you know, obviously the folks in Ireland, they might be biased towards Kerry butter, but I do think we can make a case that we've got some great Wisconsin cheeses and other types of products that could find a home over in their country, and vice versa. They have a lot to offer us. And so I'm really excited. As you said, this is a rare opportunity, especially for a state legislator to, you know, sit down with the international ambassador. And I'm just so thankful it's Ireland, because my wife and I, we took our honeymoon over in Ireland and took a second trip the following year. And I tell you, you know, based on limited experience going to other countries, I got to say, you know, Ireland is the Wisconsin of the EU.
That's very fitting. It's one of those places on the bucket list you just got to go to. It looks so beautiful over there. You mentioned that you've been traveling, doing a lot of running around and everything. And yesterday you attended a Day of Legislators event at Volk Field in Juneau County. Can you tell us what you guys discussed and how that went?
Yeah, this was another really fun and exciting opportunity. And now that Volk Field and Camp Douglas are going to be in the 24th Senate District, I felt obligated to go since it's now my backyard. And we really got the opportunity to be briefed by the leadership of Volk Field, especially right now as they conduct Northern Lightning, where they're doing military exercises over central Wisconsin right now. And really to talk about how critical the mission is of Volk Field for our Air National Guard and even some of our active duty Air Force units, where Volkfield provides a lot of unique opportunities that many other Air Force bases and National Air Guard bases don't have the capabilities. And so it's really critical, especially right now. One of the main focuses that they're training for are potential conflicts with China and Taiwan. And so, you know, think about that. Here in central Wisconsin, we are really providing training opportunities for our airmen and women to be combat ready if necessary. But the big takeaway was is that, you know, they want to have peace through strength. And so these missions are extremely important to national security and world peace. And what was really cool about this is that we got to see some of our most advanced warplanes take off. So some of the new F-35s, which again is extremely unique. It's one of the only few Air National Guard units that have received straight from the factory the most advanced technological planes in our arsenal, the F-35s. And seeing these take off, I mean, man, you know, we're sitting off to the side of the tarmac, and as these jets take off, you could feel it in your chest. And all I could think to myself was, That is freedom right there. And it was a really, really great day.
Really good to hear. And speaking of freedom, you attended the ceremony for Vietnam War U.S. Army veteran Lawrence McCann as he was awarded the Bronze Star. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, this is truly a credit to Congressman Van Orden's office. So Mr. McCann was a Vietnam War veteran who actually was supposed to receive the Bronze Star for acts of bravery, and it took him 52 years to receive his medal. There was apparently the paperwork got lost somewhere in the Department of Defense, and Congressman Van Orden and his staff worked with the DOD to make sure that they got the paperwork corrected and received his medal. And you know what was so unique about this, it was held down at the Adams VFW. And, you know, Lawrence was there with his family. And this is, I think, so telling about our veterans is that, you know, it seemed pretty clear that he didn't really want to have a big show about this. But, as Congressman Van Orden had stated, this was really about, you know, recognizing his bravery and his achievements from his service in the war. But also, more importantly, this was an opportunity for his family to be honored. And, you know, it was really humbling to be a part of this experience, and hats off to Lawrence and his family, and he truly is an American hero.
We're speaking with State Senator Patrick Teston right now, and sir, I wanted to bring attention to how certain businesses in our area can now apply for the Buy Local, Buy Wisconsin grant funding. I wanted to bring some attention to this, especially the next time you'll join us, the deadline will have passed, so I wanted to touch on this one if you don't mind.
Yeah, so the opportunity here to buy local. This is a program that I believe is being run through DATCAP, and it's really, again, an opportunity to highlight local businesses and local products. And this has been a very successful program over the years, and we want to continue to make sure that individuals take advantage of it right here. And, it's a grant for up to $200,000. And so you have until September 9th to apply, and encourage people if they want to learn more. They can go to the DATCAP homepage. So that's the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection to learn more. And if anyone needs help navigating the grant process, feel free to reach out to my office, and we'll be more than willing to help out.
Yeah, that's a great idea and a great program to have installed, and I appreciate you bringing attention to that. And the grant writing can be a little bit difficult, can be a little bit tricky, so feel free to reach out to the senator's staff or wherever you need to find out more about that. I imagine that you've had to make some room wherever you put your awards recently, sir. You've had a couple of nice nominations recently or awards given. And you were named the 2023-24 Friend of Home Healthcare by the Wisconsin Association of Home Healthcare. I know how much this in this certain topic means to you. What did it mean to you to receive that and the work that you've been doing on that front?
Well, I really thankful to get the award, but really it's not about receiving the award. It's about doing what's right. And home health care is one of these where, especially, you know, since the pandemic has really highlighted the need that, you know, we need more home health care workforce. And, throughout the pandemic, federal funds were used. In this last budget, we decided to continue to increase that instead of using federal funds, put in a state investment in there at 5%. And it's really about making sure that, you know, we're providing opportunities for people to get better within their own homes, because one of the places that's most expensive to get better if you're not doing well is in a hospital. And so that's one of the challenges that we've seen in the last couple of years, that it has put a tremendous strain on our healthcare system, is that as the level of acuity and the complication of cases has risen, oftentimes our nursing homes right now that are strapped for even entry-level workers such as CNAs don't have the ability to take care of these individuals. And so folks have had to stay in hospitals longer, but home healthcare workers in this program provide different pathways and opportunities for people to get out of a hospital and receive care within their own home, where oftentimes they get better results. And it also frees up more beds for those individuals who probably do need a higher level of acuity of care.
And it seems like something that, all great work and great points, a field and something that is going to continue to be worked on as we go forward here with some of the, you know, more of our rural areas definitely needing more attention with that.
Absolutely. And that's going to be a continued point of emphasis for me and a number of my colleagues who serve on the Joint Finance Committee going into this next budget, is doing what we can to provide affordability and access to care, especially in underserved areas, just such as we deal with here in central and western Wisconsin, and even up in other parts of the state. So, you know, we're going to continue to think outside the box and take a look at what's working, what's not, and what can we do better or differently to ensure that we're providing better patient outcomes, and also making sure that our medical professionals who service these individuals on the front lines have the tools and resources they need to get people back on their feet and hopefully back into the workforce or doing whatever they need to do to get better and stay healthy.
We have a fun show we get to do here once a month on Midday Magazine, Let's Talk Real Estate, with our friends at Cole Banker. And over the years, I worked with J.R. Seward from over there and learned so much about real estate and the industry. But the main thing that I think came up almost every month with J.R. was inventory and building in Wisconsin. And recently, you were honored to be a recipient of a Building Wisconsin Award from the Associated Builders and Contractors of Wisconsin. Congratulations on that, for one. And for why did you receive this award, and what does it mean to you?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. So we have a significant housing shortage here in the state, and the stock that's available, it's limited. Oftentimes when houses go on the market, you know, they get sold and bought right away. And the other challenges that we face right now is a lot of our housing stock is aging, no different than our population here in the state. But the vast majority of our housing stock was built before the 1980s. And so, you know, as homes age, they no different than people, problems arise. And so one of the things that we did in this last state budget made significant investments to the tune of over $500 million to provide pass the housing package, whether it's dealing with low-income housing, workforce housing, making sure that some of these projects that in years past, in these programs in years past, when, you know, funds have been available, oftentimes larger municipalities took advantage of this, leaving communities like Wisconsin Rapids and others in the dust. And knowing that, you know, we face some of the same challenges of these larger communities, well, we need to make sure that everyone's getting an opportunity to take advantage of these programs, because, you know, we need housing too. As we're all well aware, we have a workforce shortage here in the state, and every employer is starving for workers. But, you know, it doesn't do us any good if we've got jobs available in places like central Wisconsin if those individuals don't have a place to live. And so, you know, passing the housing package that we did, you know, is hopefully going to release some of the bottlenecks that we face within our real estate and housing shortage that we have here in the state. And so I was appreciative from ABC to receive the award, along with a number of my other colleagues. And again, there's more work to do on that front.
And, sir, really appreciate the time you joining us every month. We always have a good conversation, and thank you very much for that. I want to wrap up with a little more fun and on the job series. You were recently at Wisconsin River Meats. How did that go? How did you get your hands a little bit in the dirt there, or in the meat, I suppose?
Well, let's just say Wisconsin River Meats, it is an awesome, awesome store and meat processing facility. And John Hamm, and I'm not even joking, that's his name, John Hamm, great guy.
I was just going to ask.
Co-owners.
That's great.
I, I can't think of a more appropriate name for someone to own a meat processing facility. But let me tell you, that is one place you never want to go in on with an empty stomach. Mm. You know, they had me making brats in the back, which it's an art form. I did okay. But it was really neat because they do all sorts of different products, meat products and sausages, Landjägers, you name it. And they also do hand-cut steaks and roast and process beef and pigs and chickens, you name it, deer. During deer season, they process over 4,000 deer. And what was really cool for me is I got to hang some sides of beef. I kind of felt like Rocky in the cooler. But, you know, it was really great because, again, you know, something that we learned from the height of the pandemic is just how fragile our food supply chain was. And I still remember going into my local grocery store when there was hardly any meat in the cooler. And it was really scary. And, you know, with some of our smaller processors like Wisconsin River Meats that helped fill that void, because as John was telling me throughout the course of the day, you know, he was receiving requests from grocery stores all around the area, whether it was in Toma or Sparta or Black River Falls, you know, hey, can you process a couple of cows for us? And, you know, his staff really stepped up in a big way and ensured that people had access to protein sources like beef and poultry and pork. And so, you know, that's, again, something that we took away in the last couple of budgets, providing grants for our meat processors that through grants provided through DACAP to ensure that we have that strength and resiliency. If God forbid we find ourselves in another crisis or situation like we did during the height of COVID-19. And as I joked with my wife when I got home, I told her, don't be mad. This is probably one of the first on the jobs where I probably spent way more than I actually earned for the day, but it was worth it because I came home with a bunch of brats and snack sticks. And let me tell you, in the summer months after going door to door, there's nothing better than sitting down and having a good Wisconsin brat on the grill.
Mm. It's a nice reminder, too, to buy local, support local, and look for that Wisconsin-made label and support our local businesses here in state. Looking forward to hearing about the next On the Job series, talking with you next month. Thank you so much for the time, sir. If people have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of what we talked about, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, if anyone needs to get a hold of my office, give us a call at 608-266-3123. Shoot us an email at sen.mylastnametestin@legis.wi.gov. Follow us on social media. And, you know, if you see me out and about on the campaign trail, if I'm not at your door, if you see me out walking the street, feel free to stop me anytime. And, you know, let me know what's on your mind. If you've got thoughts, ideas, concerns, and I'll be sure to take that back with me to Madison.
Safe travels out there. Thanks again for the time. We'll talk again next month, sir.
Awesome. Thanks, James.
Thank you. Well, a more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier? Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah.
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Hi, everyone. Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is asking a federal judge not to impose any changes at Wisconsin's youth prisons. Evers tells federal judge James Peterson the conditions at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake are slowly getting better. Republican state lawmakers are pushing Peterson to give staff more leeway to discipline inmates after a counselor was killed in June. Black business owners in Milwaukee have a digital resource to set up and grow their ventures. It's called MKE Boss. Pam Bell is a business lender. She admits financial services can be hard for new entrepreneurs to navigate.
How do I scale this? Breaking down how much it costs to, you know, create a product and how much do I need to put back into my business so that it's profitable and all of that.
August is National Black Business Month. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Nothing says fall like corn mazes. This year, four farms have been selected to help build excitement for the 2025 draft in Green Bay with special draft-themed corn mazes. The Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association has chosen farms in Ripon, Chilton, Bondouel, and our very own Feltz's Dairy Store in Portage County. Each maze will feature a one-of-the-kind design to celebrate our strong agricultural identity and honor the hard work and dedication of farmers around the state, while also reminding fans of the special opportunity we have to showcase Wisconsin when the draft comes to Green Bay. The 12-acre Feltz corn maze will open on September 21st. Community Trivia Night happens next week Tuesday in Port Edwards at the United Methodist Church. It will benefit the Family Center in Wisconsin Rapids. Dinner is from 5:30 to 7, and trivia begins at 7. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Okay, movie fans, as the summer winds down and you're behind on your summer flicks, here are some suggestions in order of my personal enjoyment. Topping the list is Inside Out 2, which I thought was a near-perfect film. I actually liked it better than the original, and it crushed several box office records. If you hurry, you can still catch it on the big screen. Mad Max Furiosa was nonstop fun, and although not the spectacle its predecessor, Mad Max Fury Road, was, it was a heart-pounding fun ride. It is now available to stream, and although not as spectacular in your living room, still a great watch. Number three for me is A Quiet Place Day One, as I really liked how there were no huge stars, which helped me lose myself more in the story. I actually liked the pacing better and the urban setting in Day One more than either of the first two Quiet Place films. Other films that will provide lots of entertainment, Dune 2, The Bike Riders, Civil War, Twisters, and Challengers. Have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, few showers around tonight and a low in the mid-60s. And more clouds around for tomorrow, maybe a pop-up shower and highs in the mid-70s. Mostly sunny with a high in the low 80s Sunday. A couple of nice days Monday and Tuesday, mostly sunny and highs near 80. Right now it's 73.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Our southern border isn't chaos, with drugs and criminals flowing into our country. But sanctuary cities protect illegal immigrants who commit crimes from being deported. Like an illegal immigrant arrested for battery in Madison. He should have been deported. Instead, he was released back into the community and went on to assault several more women, including a 13-year-old girl. Senator Tammy Baldwin voted 9 times to support federal funding for sanctuary cities that refuse to cooperate with immigration officials and release these dangerous criminals back onto our streets. And Senator Baldwin voted for amnesty for 11 million illegals, including convicted criminals. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-1068, the Stop Dangerous Sanctuary Cities Act. Stop protecting illegal immigrants and start protecting Wisconsin. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Todd's in Chicago getting ready to cover the Democratic National Convention. So on our next show, tune in for coverage of the event.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this August 16th, 2024. I have your host, James, with you, everybody, and we're going to be joined right now by a new friend of ours. We have Reverend Caleb McGregor in with us right now, Order of St. Luke's. And Reverend Caleb, thank you very much for being here right now. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be on the segment.
We're looking forward to talking about the community trivia night that you have coming up, and it is a benefit for the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center.
That's correct.
I'd like to mention to the audience, to those that don't know, I am on the board of the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. Personally feel like they do some of the most vital work in this community and greatly appreciate not only what they do, but organizations and churches and similar nonprofits like yourself working with the Family Center. It greatly not only helps the work that they're doing over there, but with a subject like this, sir, this is black and white, and for people to be on the right side of this is greatly appreciated. The Family Center can use all the support they can financially, certainly, but emotionally as well, as a community supporting what the Family Center does can mean almost as much as dollars and cents oftentimes. But I imagine that there are people out there may not know what the Family Center is, so let's get right into the question and Q&A with this one. First, what is this event? The community event coming up.
Yes, the community event is a trivia night in response to the latest news of some of the devastating federal funding that has been cut from the Family Center. They announced that about a month ago, and in fact, talking with Executive Director Tricia Fancher, who had been anticipating this as well.
And appreciate that. I don't feel like enough attention has been brought to this. It's great to see that you guys over there bring attention to this as well as helping with it, and it's greatly appreciated again. What is this for? As you mentioned, the benefit for the Family Center. But I want to get into what the Family Center does, if you don't mind. And I've rambled about this all the time. If you don't mind touching on this, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Well, I'm really glad that your viewers probably know quite a bit already, having listened to you over the years, but for those who are new to the channel or the segment, then I guess I prepared some information just for those, and I want to be clear that I am not a spokesperson. Now that I'm sitting with someone on the board, I feel I'm with somebody who knows a lot more than I do, but I just wanted to say I'm just a local United Methodist pastor who did the research and have reached out to several of the staff as we try to partner with them as a church.
And I do think that you touching on this subject, whether it's known by the audience or not, it means something to come from you. It means something to come from others. As I said, I talk about these things from time to time, but it can fall on deaf ears sometimes when it's the same voice or it's written the same way. No different than a great coach can have a locker room and lose them after a season or two or something because the voice just gets tired or old to some people out there. So I do appreciate you touching on this as well. And the research you did and everything, thank you for doing that. Again, you can't have enough people supporting this particular cause and this organization. Why the Family Center needs this? I think that that's an important one to touch on as well. You mentioned a little bit of the funding cuts. Can we get into a little bit more of that?
Certainly. As any sort of nonprofit, they're always in need, always looking for donations, of course. And every Wednesday, they post an updated list of needed items to their food and household pantry. In fact, this week, I just like to share what they had posted, just so you get an idea, because it's not just always food, but they posted recently the need for some pillow protectors and full-size mattress protectors as well, and they said they were very low on dry soup mixes, spaghetti noodles, and ready-to-eat stews and soups and hash. Hash is a very interesting thing.
Yeah,
in fact,
yeah.
I grew up in Southern Illinois where we had mush, and maybe mush and hash are very similar.
I grew up in Northern Illinois, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
God.
Oh, that was hilarious. You just give me a hit of nostalgia there with that.
Yeah, I didn't even know it came in a can, but I learned something new.
That's right, Miss Samir about that.
So last week, they were looking for adult coloring books and art supplies and blank canvases, and they were just showing that this is just one way that they enhance community life, but also how many survivors of abuse and violence turn to painting and drawing for as ways to express and process their feelings and articulate their emotions. So it was announced about a month ago that the Wisconsin Rapids Center would be receiving devastating cuts in federal funding that was representing a cut of over $265,000 annually. As we are facing a 20% increase of deaths due to domestic violence. And that was according to the July 23rd article from the City Times. So this really poses a major impact on their ability to minister to the victims of violence in our community. So that's why it seemed just very prevalent and very important to be able to fundraise, but also to give exposure to the Family Center. And in fact, just around the time that they were announcing this, I officiated at a funeral for somebody, and I didn't know this until I read the obituary that she was very involved in the Family Center back in the 90s. And so the two things came together, and I thought to myself, you know, it just feels right. And so this is actually an event dedicated in her memory as well for the years that she spent supporting that as a nurse practitioner. So she understood even the medical and biological impact that violence and abuse has on a person.
Mm-hmm. I think that this area, and in particular the churches in this area, do such a beautiful job of bringing attention to somebody like that or a cause like this, while also combining the community to have a good time, get out, enjoy, have some fellowship, some of these things. It's great to see, great to hear, and it's one of those things we can never have enough of. I appreciate as well, you bring up the cuts. This is something that I talk to our politicians about. I've talked to many behind the scenes on air about, and have not gotten any real good answers of why this happened, especially with the note that you just had there about the rise of this right in 2022. And we're still dealing with a tail end stuff from the pandemic when it comes to this and everything. So even as a layman looking at the numbers and all of this, it doesn't make any sense. It says something that the politicians represent us as a community, us as constituents. And here we are, where one of those constituents, one of those organizations, one of those churches sees this and is doing something about it when we have so many others that aren't. I cannot tell you how much we appreciate that. We appreciate not only you taking the initiative of that, your congregation taking the initiative of this and going forward with it. I'm going to be honest. I'm not a church person. I was raised in a multi-faith family and was raised with many different things. But one of the things that I grew up loving was my Nana was just such a advocate about her religion, her faith. It meant so much to her. And with her as our matriarch, her as somebody who really I looked up to and was influenced by, I've always grown to have kind of almost a second perspective, a third perspective of churches and communities, and greatly appreciate the work that gets put in, certainly by you all, but other churches in this area. Right. And the if I can say this, and I may not word this properly, sir, I apologize, but the fact that you guys don't flinch, you guys, you see something and you're going to do something about it if you can. And I just don't think we give churches nearly enough credit when it comes to that. Something like this is not something that we expected from you, but you do because you see a need and you pounce on it. You do something about it. In this day and age, especially, we need that, and it's greatly appreciated. So I may be over rambling. I may be saying thank you too much, but I'm not going to apologize for it because we want to make sure you leave here knowing we appreciate this event, appreciate right. you guys doing things like this.
Yes. And actually, I like to do a shout out to the parishioners of St. Louis Catholic Church who had the vision to start the Family Center in 1983. One of the things that I think pulls churches like ours to a ministry like the Family Center, because they both are reacting in the moment to people in need when they're in need, but they're also they seek proactive ways to strike at the root causes. And even if that means the heavy work of affecting a culture of sexual and physical violence, and their vision is to see a community that helps people live free of domestic violence and assault. And I think that's what's great, is that it's both the reaction to people in need in the moment, but also the let's see why what's causing this, as mm-hmm. as that famous mm-hmm. phrase is, let's stop pulling people out of the water or out of the river and go upstream to see why they're falling in. Mm-hmm. And I think that the Family Center is one that tries to do both, mm-hmm. pull people out of the water and then to go upstream to see why they're falling in. So that's why I think churches like ours and many churches in the area are attracted to a ministry like this that tries to do that.
Very well said. Let's dive into the event, the Community Trivia Night, to benefit the Family yes. Center coming up Tuesday, August 20th. Can you tell us a little bit about the event?
Yeah, so it is being hosted by my congregation, which is Port Edwards United Methodist Church, and that is the church located at 411 Wisconsin River Drive in Port Edwards. And it is the Sandstone Church that's on the corner of the highway, just where they reconfigured that intersection there in Port Edwards, and this is going to be this coming Tuesday, August the 20th.
It's going to be a really fun event. We encourage you to make plans to attend. And what is required if people want to attend?
So while our congregation seeks to be accessible to all people and to provide events and programs that are no cost to community members, but the nature of this being a fundraiser means that there is going to be a fee. But everything that we collect that evening, 100% of it will go to the Family Center. It is not a fundraiser for ourselves. It's for them. So to participate in the trivia portion, it's $15 per adult, $5 per minor, and that's ages 8 to 17, and those under 7 get in free. There's also a dinner option, and it's being provided by El Cafe. That's the new restaurant in Port Edwards, which is doing the catering that evening. The meal cost also goes as proceeds to benefit the Family Center, and we're setting that at a cost of $15 per plate, which the owner, Fidel Perez, also says is actually cheaper than their normal specials. So in some ways, $15 as a flat fee without tax is equivalent to what they would have mm-hmm. On any given day at the restaurant. There is a choice of chicken Alfredo and spaghetti with meatballs with all the fixings that go with it. The dinner portion will begin at 5:30 and it will last for 90 minutes until we reach 7, and then we'll have our trivia portion. So for those not having dinner, they can just show up at 7. Once we get started, I think trivia will be end around 8 o'clock, maybe a little bit afterwards. And I do have had I've had several people interested in just the dinner. And so, you know, it is possible to do both. Or just the dinner, or just the trivia. And there's just multiple ways that you can help to help us raise funds for this ministry. And as an additional fundraiser, the ladies of the church are preparing a boatload of baked goods. And I just have to tell you a funny thing is I created a sign-up sheet with just like 8 spots. Just fill up these 8 spots. That should be enough. And they filled up the 8 spots in one day, and then they started writing their names in the margins and like stuffing them in lines already used. And I just thought it was so funny. It's like when you ask the ladies to do something like this, they really show up and just blow that out of the water. It's just really great. And that is another way that we are helping to fundraise as well, is through those mm-hmm. baked goods.
I have said this many times on the air. I will stand on this hill. There are not any better baked goods than church baked goods. They are the greatest you're going to come across. I apologize to my mom, but they are just the best you're going to find. And that's surprising to hear those ladies stepping up like that. A big thank you to them for it.
Yeah, and my doctor has been noticing that as well, as how good they are, and telling me to counteract that with some more exercise.
Is the space accessible, sir?
Yes, it is located in our fellowship hall, and that is accessible by our brand new Otis elevator that we just put in a handful of months ago. So we're really excited to be able to have this space fully accessible to to everybody who wants to be there.
We covered the food part of this, and I do want to send a big shout out to our friends Fidel and everybody the gang over at El Cafe. They sponsor our birthday and anniversary club. Great friends of ours here at WFHR. Amazing food. Just the only thing more amazing than their food is the people there.
Oh, absolutely.
So go ahead and check out El Cafe. They got a great Friday fish fry for everybody as well, and they're going to have some great food for you at this event. Talking about the trivia portion of this, how does the trivia part work?
Yes, and you know, I wanted to explain that a little bit. In some places, trivia nights are very common as fundraisers, but in other places, we associate trivia night as, oh, don't the bars and pubs do that? Yeah. And so it might be a common understanding of what it is, but I just wanted to kind of clarify, what does it look like when a church hosts it? There will be 10 categories of 10 questions each. It's a variety of categories. There won't necessarily be religious or Bible facts. The questions, if I do them right, are various degrees of difficulty. So this is really something for the whole family, for all the ages. I mean, youth and adults would be able to contribute to the answers. We will compete in groups of 4 people to 6 people, and a group could be a family. They could represent it, a business or an organization, or if you sign up individually, we'll place you in a group with others. So you can sign up as a group or just by yourself. There's also chances to purchase a mulligan. And a mulligan on trivia night saves you from missing a point even if you get an answer wrong. And so mulligans will be $2 each, or you can bring in some canned goods or some non-perishable foods as payment for those. And remember that they do have food pantry needs as well. 2 cans or 2 boxes for each mulligan. And so just keep in mind the food pantry's needs at this time.
It's a great opportunity to not only help out our local food pantry, help out our family center, but also give people a little grace, if you will. The mulligan thing is a great idea. I should already give you $4 right now just to cover that, because I'm definitely one of those people that would need the mulligans. Can I say, too, there is a uniqueness to this event. You're so right about this, where when we think of trivia nights, we think of bars and some of those things oftentimes, but we don't have a lot of things where families can do a trivia night together. And the idea, just picturing this in my own head, of families and you know, father and son, or daughter and father, or any of these kind of combinations working on answers together, and oh, I think I got it, and all the little moments that can happen from that, and families being able to bond together on these kind of events is really just as noteworthy as some of the other things we've talked about. So that's a really cool idea. I like that. Do you need to register or prepay for this?
That is a yes and a no. We are asking that everyone pre-register for this event. So if you do see one of our posters around, you'll notice that the deadline is actually today. But since you are hearing this segment Friday evening, I will be extending the deadline to tomorrow morning, which is Saturday the 17th at noon. And the reason for the pre-registration is mostly to let El Cafe know how much food to prepare and how we can prepare the space as well. Our website currently does not have the capability yet to receive payments to the forms, so you are registering beforehand, but to be reminded that all the fees and costs that will be collected at the door of the event.
Mm-hmm. Are there prizes?
Yes, there are prizes. Mm-hmm. There will be $150 worth of prizes, and that's a combination of cash and gift cards, and the winning team can choose their prize.
And is there childcare provided?
Yes, there is for any child 7 years of age and below. And that's not to say that every child 7 years or younger cannot participate in the event, but that's just an option, and you'll just need to indicate that on the form so we know how to prepare and to care for your child.
We know how busy you are. We don't want to keep you too long, sir. Do appreciate the time. Just one final question. What is asked on the online form, and what information does someone emailing or calling need to give?
Yes, we're just asking for each participant's names, first names at the very least, the number in your party if you're acting as a group, just a contact information so we can confirm, and then follow up with a thank you. You can choose your group name if you're asking, if you're acting as your own group, or whether you are, representing a business or organization. There's a question about the meal, and that just helps us with numbers. You're not reserving a plate. You're just helping us with those and about childcare as well. And so if you see one of our posters, you'll see the QR code, or you can just call the church office, which is 715-887-3011.
It's
887-3011. Or you can email us at office@peumc.org. And so that's Port Edward United Methodist Church. That's our acronym, peumc.org. Or you can just go directly to our online form if you just want to type it in. It's peumc.org/trivia.
And I typed into my search bar the Port Edwards United Methodist Church, and that popped up right away. So listeners know that as well. It's the first thing that pops up on your search list. So go for it and find out more that way as well. And Caleb, you had some last notes you wanted to wrap up with.
Yeah, I just wanted to share some more information about the Family Center and what they provide, just so everybody is aware, and then you maybe hear it framed from another person, but I'm so glad that there's so many advocates of the Family Center in this community. They are a safe shelter, providing shelter 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for people and their families who are in crisis as a result of domestic violence. The shelter is a home-like environment in a secure building. Even the parking is secure and discreet as well. It helps family members regain a sense of strength and control. They are also an advocacy service, and these services are available to men, women, and children who are dealing with current and or past abusive experiences. They are an inclusive organization offering services to the LGBTQ+ clients, which I would like to add, so is our congregation at Port Edward United Methodist Church as well. They also include clients with limited English language skills, and they provide some criminal justice, legal, and personal advocacy services during divorce or custody proceedings and in criminal cases related to domestic violence. And lastly, they do provide some self-help and support groups to build self-esteem and coping skills, and to offer an opportunity to speak with others who have had similar experiences to men and women who are in need of that.
Greatly appreciate the time today, sir. Appreciate hanging out with you and getting to know you a little bit better and what you're doing with this event. Thank you so much for the time. Don't be a stranger. You got to come back sometime, all right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a pastor. I can always fill up 23 minutes.
Right.
Is a weekly description in my job.
Right up. Find out more at peumc.org, peumc.org, and be sure to follow the Port Edward United Methodist Church on social media and share what they are doing over there. You just never know who might see it on your page that wouldn't otherwise. Reverend Caleb, thank you again for the time,
Absolutely.
Sir.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you next week. We want to send a special shout out to our own friend, our good friend, the heart of this station, Pam Hilke, and the amazing scheduling she does week in and week out. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at WFHR.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Ben Wickler. Now, I was involved in politics for 30-plus years. I've never seen anything in the state of Wisconsin like I saw in Eau Claire last week. 2 miles away from the venue, and there were cars parked alongside the road.
It's not just cities. It's rural places and small towns and medium-sized towns. It's everything. Voters realize in this moment they have the power to shape history.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we're in Milwaukee getting set to board the train as we preview this week's Democratic National Convention in Chicago.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.